We're carrying on the series that we began last week in James's letter, and Debbie started that off last week. And so we're carrying on this week in James chapter 1, and before we carry on, Jill's going to come up and read to us. You'll find it on page 1213 of the Bible.
The reading is taken from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Jill. Let's pray as we sit. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray now that as we consider what James says, you'll open it to our hearts and our minds, and you'll help it to stick. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So there was a fella who'd been away on business, and the day he was going to go home, he thought he'd be a lovely husband and take his wife a present, and he wondered what to do, and he thought, oh, I know what I'll do, I'll take her some perfume. So he went to department store, up to the cosmetics counter, and he said to the lady serving, oh, I'd love to see some really nice perfume, please. So she went and she came back with a bottle of perfume. He said, how much is that? She said, 100 quid. And he went, oh no, I wasn't really thinking of spending that much. So she went back and came out again, and she had another bottle of perfume. This time it was £50. And he said, no, not really. I don't want to spend that much. That's a bit too much for me. So she rolled her eyes a bit and went out and came back again. And this time she had a bottle of perfume, which was a tenner. And he said, you know what? What I'd really like to see is something really cheap. So she handed him a mirror. And what we're looking at today, what James is all about today, is looking at who we are. At the real me looking in the mirror. And one of the words that James keeps repeating in this first chapter of his book is deceived. He says in verse 16, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters, presumably because there's a danger that they might be deceived. He talks about deceiving yourselves in verse 22, and people who deceive themselves in verse 26. And the key to avoiding being deceived, James says, the key to authentic Christian living is simple. To listen. To listen. So me standing here and you sitting there is an exercise in listening. And I know that sounds a bit simplistic, like teaching granny to suck eggs. But James isn't that kind of writer. He's a wisdom writer. He won't let us off that easily. And even though you might be able to hear Granny's words in the background, what James is talking about here is how to listen to God. how to be an authentic disciple, how to listen to his word. What matters is his word, what he says. And it's a thought that gets repeated 5 times in our reading in verses 18, 21, 22, 25. The word of truth, which saves us, the word that gives us freedom. So our section starts in verse 19, and James writes, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak." What was it your granny used to say? Been given 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. And James here says, listen, listen. First, listen and lose the static. Because we'll never hear God until we get rid of the stuff that stops us hearing God. When James says listen, he means a whole lot more than just reading our Bible and having a daily quiet time. I remember somebody telling me my regular Bible reading achieved no more than just moving the bookmark forward. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. You noticed, apart from Paula's family, because when all the sisters get together, they all talk together and seem to be able to cope with that. But how difficult it is to listen when you're talking. In everyday life, we know that. You're in a conversation with somebody and you can't finish the sentence because somebody finishes it for you. And they probably don't finish it in the way that you'd have finished it. Or people who keep interrupting. People who ask another question when you haven't finished answering the first one. Or change the subject, and all of a sudden you're not talking about you anymore, you're talking about them. And people are in a conversation with you and they're talking to you, and all of a sudden you notice they're looking over your shoulder to see if somebody more interesting's entered the room. And I'm thinking, you're not listening. They didn't wait to hear what the person actually had to say and whether it was something important. Maybe they weren't all that interested in the first place. And it's like that when it comes to listening to God. Some of us are hardly reading the words on the page before we're going, but, or because, or poor me. And we can't actually hear God because we're actually stuffed to the gills with buts and becauses and poor me's. Well, God, get me out of here. And if your word looks like it's not going to give me the kind of relief that I need, then I can't hear it. And when we come to God and we say to him, God, I want help in feeling the way that I want to feel all the time, God's word replies, I want to help you. But I don't want to help you in the way that you're demanding. I want to help you with something far deeper. With something that's really wrong in your life, because in the end, I want you to be full of joy. You're not going to be full of joy if you have this entitled spirit of feeling good and I'm supposed to bless you and you're seeing me as nothing but Santa Claus and this is Christmas. My word says this, but you want to do that. That isn't how everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. And then James goes on. Didn't see this coming. Slow to become angry. Slow to anger. Because human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God wants. Human anger doesn't lead to righteousness. When I lose my temper, I've lost control, haven't I? I'm regretting saying and doing stuff even as I'm saying and doing it. I know this will break the plate, but I'm going to throw it anyway. And anger deafens us as well. I'm so filled up with anger and resentment, I can't focus on anything else. Talk about that red mist coming down, don't we? and it blanks everything out. I can't hear God because he's not giving me the answer that I want. I don't like your answer, God. La, 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 la. James is talking about human anger here. There is a good kind of anger. There is righteous anger, and humans can have it. But don't let the sun go down on it, or it'll take root in your heart and become warped and bitter. And don't let it move me from justice to revenge, because they're two different things. Therefore, says James, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, because I really can't hear God until I have. And that word for moral filth, now it's translation, it's also used for earwax. It's like wax in our ears. It deafens us. It's wax in our ears when we try to listen to God. Can you remember back, and I know for some of us this is way back, but can you remember back to the time before you got saved, before you came to know the Lord? And I remember I could read the Bible. I could read the words. I could understand the English. I just didn't get what it was saying. It made no sense in my heart. That makes sense. I could read God's word and it was just like stone. And the reason that that was the case was, until I repent, I'm not going to understand what God's saying. Till I acknowledge that he's God and I'm not, that I'm going the wrong way and I turn around and go his way. And until I do that, I'm deaf. And just because we're Christians doesn't mean to say it won't happen to us, because we can go through those phases as well. When I'm so intent on going my own way and refusing to do it his way, I can't hear God because of all the noise I'm making. The sin, the wrong that God's pointing out to me, because he's not doing anything about it as far as I'm concerned. It somehow blocks me off. I don't like your remedy, God. La, 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 la. Blocks me off from opening up and learning and understanding the truth about God. And the way that God's arranged things is, until I do that, I won't be able to understand this. You feel like you're in a rut? Your Christian life's on hold. You can't get rid of feelings, because actually maybe you don't really want to get rid of feelings. God's gone quiet on you. Maybe stop and listen. See if there's anything that you need to repent of. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and repent and humbly accept the word planted in you. John Stott wrote these words. I keep returning to this simple question. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of the church, so that it submits to his teaching, however unpalatable? Or is the church the Lord of Jesus Christ? Will the church listen humbly and obediently to Jesus Christ, or will it behave like the brash adolescent it often seems to be, contradicting its master and putting him right where he's wrong? Is the church over or under Christ? You can put that personally. Am I over or under Christ? Can we humbly accept God's word? Or am I making so much noise that I can't hear God because I'm trying to point out where he's wrong? See, there are conditions for this word to be planted in us and do its saving work. And it isn't that you've had to go to Bible college, and it isn't that you wear a dog collar, and it isn't that you're somehow a super saint. What it is that we cut the static. It's that we've got a repentant heart. It's that we've got a humble mind. And if God says, then I do it. Without that attitude, says James, I'll never truly listen. I'll never truly hear. I may not truly be saved. You know the two words that can never go together in a sentence? No, Lord. It's an oxymoron. If we say no to Jesus, then he's not our Lord. And if he's our Lord, then we can't say no. Listen, cut the static. Listen, James says, and just do it. Not like Nike says, just do it. Verses 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word. You can listen, but not really hear. And we've all done it, haven't we? We've opened the Bible. We've read stuff. Our eyes have scanned the words. And we're not really listening. And maybe that's true for some of us here now. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. You think you've heard, you think you know, but you don't know, you haven't heard, and you're none the wiser about what it means to be a disciple. Do what it says. Obedience is the secret of listening. Doing is not an optional extra. I'll take this, but I won't take that. Obedience is the essence of listening, of learning, of being a disciple. Because it's only when I've done that I've really listened. It's quite a thought, isn't it? Only when I've done that I've really listened. You know how sometimes one of the Bible writers says, remember. And you scratch your head and you wonder how the readers have forgotten. But it isn't that they've forgotten the truth. What they've forgotten is the implication of the truth. Remember that Jesus died for you. Well, of course I remember that. So are you sure of your place with God? And then they start wondering, have I done enough? How can God forgive me? Oh, wait a sec. Remember, Jesus died for you. Or when the apostles say, don't you know? And that question comes up again and again in the New Testament. Don't you know? And the answer is that it isn't that the listeners don't know. They do know. And the apostle knows they know because he's the one that taught them in the first place. Don't you know this? Because you're not living it. That's what he's saying. True remembering, true listening leads to action. And then James gives this everyday example in verses 23 and 24. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. There's the mirror. And we've probably done it every morning. We look in it, we check ourselves, hair, makeup, spots, tie. That's just the fellas. And having done all that, you can still forget what you look like. You know you look tidy. You've done that, but what do you really look like? How much notice do we take? If I said to you, here's a bit of paper. You may not be much of an artist, but draw yourself. How long would it be before you had to go back to the mirror to have another look? Just draw yourself. Think how long we've spent in front. I know for us fellas, we don't spend long in front of a mirror. It is a glance and off you go, isn't it, really? And people can listen to God and read the Bible like that as well. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, says James, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. It's the person who does who gets the blessing. You can read your Bible all you like. It's the person who does who gets the blessing. You see the way James is going when it comes to listening. You come across people sometimes who will say, hey, have you read the Bible this week? What did you learn? Share what you learned with the person sitting next to you. James won't do that, you'll be pleased to know. What James will say is, have you read the Bible this week? What have you done as a result? Just share with the person next to you what you've actually done as a result. How's it changed your behavior? How has it changed and adapted your thinking from reading the Bible? Now, I'm not James, so don't share that right now. But just think about the answer. What have I done from reading God's word this week? Now you're sitting here and this is the part of the service where we're listening to God's word. It's being spoken out to you. And James says that the question that you need to be there sitting and asking yourself is, what do I do now? How can I change my thinking? What do I need to unlearn in order to go God's way? Because the person who does gets the blessing. So listen. Cut the static. Listen. Just do it. Listen. And this is what it looks like if we really do listen. Verses 26 and 27. One of James's big things is about empty faith. Faith that doesn't produce any evidence. How our hearts expressed, because true faith does good. How someone's faith is expressed tells you a lot about how authentic their heartbeat is. First, it's going to lead to a control over myself. Those who consider themselves religious and yet don't keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. They deceive themselves. People who just rabbit on and on, who bicker and never change that, who gossip behind other people's backs, where we talk love but we don't show it. We talk forgiveness but we don't do it. Second, authentic Christian living is going to involve care for others. Verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Our God is a God of the fatherless. We know that, don't we? And you wouldn't expect his people to be any different. And third, authentic Christian living, authentic Christian hearts, authentic Christian listening means we'll be devoted to God. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is pollution freedom that teenager Greta Thunberg has missed out on. Later on in James chapter 4, James speaks out and he says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. When we face trials, which we do, when we're challenged, which we are, it's very easy to just slip into the world's way of thinking and acting. We get pressured to react instinctively, and our instincts aren't always godly ones. And James says, listen, be educated by God's word, only God's word, and do it. You don't know a Bible person by just looking at their Bible and seeing if it's got a bookmark that moves forward. You look at their life, because their life will tell me if their ears are working and they're really listening.